It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you until 6. We have pushed Matt to the other side of the glass because we have our first two guests lined up here in studio. We're talking about The Producers. The musical takes place at Lorain Community Music Theater, debuting this Friday, July 12th at 7:30. They have shows the 13th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. The first few shows at 7:30, and it all comes to a close on Sunday, July 21st, with a 2 p.m. Sunday matinee. Here in studio with us right now to tell us all about the production, we've got Luke Scattergood and Lynn Maslinski with Lorain Community Music Theater. Guys, thanks for coming in today. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we have a lot to dive into here. I know you guys are excited, chomping at the bit to get things going this Friday, and I want to start with this. What made you guys go with The Producers?
I think it was a great opportunity for the LCMT board to choose a show from a different genre, musical genre, that we had not done forever in our 42-year history. And it's been a while that since we've done more of a comedy show. I mean, Anything Goes was a comedy, but not to this degree. And before that was Little Mermaid and Into the Woods and Mary Poppins. So it's just a chance for us to get a different genre. This is really definitely 100% comedy. It's also the most Tony Award-winning show ever. Still holds the record, even with all the popular ones out there at 12. So we knew it just was a blockbuster when it came out and hit Broadway in 2001, and it's not done a lot, so we thought we would jump on the opportunity.
Now, it's been a little while since you guys went through the auditioning process, and we should mention this. Luke is in charge of both costuming, and he's playing the lead role in The Producers as well, so certainly a great deal of responsibility. But if we can go back to the auditioning process, give us an idea as to what that was like for you, Luke, going through that whole process.
Well, for me, I started just as a member of the production team as a costumer, and I got to sit in and watch the audition, so I got to see everyone have to come in. The actors are asked to prepare a musical selection, bring music for the accompaniments, and sing along with them. Then they learned a dance combination, which thankfully I did not have to do. And finally they read some scenes from the show. It's called a cold read, where they kind of just give you a script and you put it on your on its feet and see, you know, how you would, you know, your first crack at developing this character. So we had our auditions. Towards the end of the auditions, the director just said, "Hey, Luke, why don't you just go up there and read with, you know, this actor and see, you know," because we were still looking for the role of Max, for someone to play it. And after the scene, after I read, she took the music director, Anthony, and she took Lynn, our producer, back into the other room. She said, "We'll be right back." And I said, "Oh, gosh, they're going to come back and offer me this role." And I promised my wife I was going to not be in a show this summer. But it's a great role, so I couldn't pass it up. It really is one of the great comedic musical theater roles. Nathan Lane played it on Broadway. He, you know, if it's a role that he's played, it's a role that I want to play. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity. So,
all right. So I've got to throw the question at you then, Lynn. What was it that he did that made him stand out during the whole auditioning process?
Well, I wasn't even considering Luke because we are good friends, and I had been trying to get him to audition for Max for a long time, and I knew it was absolutely not a choice. So I wasn't even paying attention, but I feel like for the director, she saw Luke as Moonface Martin in Anything Goes with LCMT last year, which was definitely a comedic role, and he just has a great stage presence and is just really a funny guy. And once he read, I knew, I mean, even before she called me back in the room, when she called him up there, I knew what her plan was, because she, you know, has seen him in several shows around the mostly Cleveland area, but was with LCMT last year, and she knew what he would bring to the stage. And as soon as she had him get up there, I knew that's who she wanted.
Very cool stuff. Again, here in studio with us, we have Luke Scattergood and Lynn Maslinski with Lorraine Community Music Theater. This year's production, The Producers, and it debuts this Friday, July 12th. It's also playing the 13th, 19th, and 20th at 7:30, and a special Sunday matinee on July 20th at 2 o'clock. Okay, so we've talked about why you guys picked The Producers, and Luke, we mentioned that you're in charge of costuming as well. Lynn was telling me off-air how this can be a pretty challenging musical to costume. So give us an idea as to how challenging this has been so far.
Well, it's challenging in the fact that although we have a cast of 24 cast members, there are over 150 roles in the show. There are cops, there are little old ladies, there are usherettes, there are bums, there's, you know, anything you can imagine in a New York environment you're probably going to see on the stage. And then they throw in a ridiculous Broadway musical that features Nazis and Hitler and showgirls dressed in pretzels and beer steins. And so it's just the amount of costumes is absurd. And some of the costumes themselves are very absurd. So it's, I like to say that I have to have a really good spreadsheet to make sure I'm hitting all the things I need to hit. Because being on stage, I don't get to just sit back and watch as much as I normally would and say, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. I have to really plan ahead, and that's one thing that I really have tried to do on this show is to get a head start on things. So now that we're in Tech Week, it's not as stressful, so I can just focus on the show and not on the costumes, which have come together really well, and I'm, you know, hope everyone comes out and sees them, because, you know, that's what our ultimate goal is to put on an awesome show for the community.
And, you think it helps being an actor in the play? I mean, kind of knowing what you want to wear and what other people might want to wear?
Well, I did get to costume myself.
There you go.
I did put myself in a three-piece suit, though, and I do sweat a lot, so I don't know if that was a wise choice. You know, it does, as an actor, you know, certain things like, oh, it'd be easier to move in this costume than in another. And if you maybe have never been on stage, you wouldn't have any idea. But yeah, I don't know if it's easier being in the show, but it's been a challenge. And it's one that I think this whole show has been a challenge just because it's giant. So everyone on the production team, I feel, has really had to step up their game to make it work.
How hard is it? I mean, you mentioned, I would imagine being the costume person for this has to be pretty tough. Where do you find all the, I mean, it's not Broadway. You can't just go down and find the sequins and the leotards and stuff around here, can you?
Well, you can find some things, but I always say that I don't know how anyone costumed before online shopping. Because without online shopping and, you know, some of the online retailers, it was a lot more difficult. There's a lot of stuff that's readily available if you go online and know how to look for things. It also helps. I did work on this show years ago at another theater as the stage manager, so I was familiar going into the show with kind of the overall scope of what was going to be needed, so it wasn't like there was a lot of surprises. But yeah, I'd say online retail is your friend when you're a costumer. And then there are some great local costume shops, and there are some, you know, thrift stores are a costumer's best friend. You can always find something that you can either use as is, or you can adjust and rethink and make it work for what you need for the show. So
you mentioned you're doing The Producers here, which anyone who's seen knows the storyline. Springtime for Hitler.
Yes.
Is it odd finding the Nazi? That could be a bit of an awkward moment, I feel, going out there.
Actually, the khaki shirts that the Nazis wear were one of the hardest things I had to find, and they're just plain khaki shirts. But you know, it is a community theater, so we do have budgets, and we try to stay in, you know, and not spend an exorbitant amount on things. So you try to find these as cheaply as possible. And luckily for us, we had some other theaters in the area that we were able to reach out to that had done the show in the past. And they had, you know, the armbands that we needed and the ties and stuff. And, you know, we keep the armbands hidden so they're not just laying around for anybody to see our Nazi armbands. But, yeah, it's just yeah, a lot of absurd and different things in this show, costume-wise.
I would say, you know, Luke mentioned budget a little. The Broadway version, the 2001 Broadway success, had a costume budget of $500,000.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Obviously, I think that in itself, we need the same amount of costumes because we have pretty much the same amount of characters because we followed the same original casting of having everyone play multiple roles.
We definitely did not have $500,000.
Presents the most challenges to try to be able to do it and look beautiful, but on, you know, a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I can see how that would present its own set of challenges for sure. Lynn, what can you tell us about the rest of the cast for the producers?
We have a cast of 24. They are all adults with the exception of two high school girls. We have people that travel from Cleveland Heights, a married couple. They come from Cleveland Heights as far as to Sandusky, so and everywhere in between. I would say a majority of our cast members actually are probably are not from Lorain County, but it's just a show that people like. And the people that Melanie and Matt class that are coming from Cleveland Heights, they love to tap dance. So this is a show that would bring out some tap dancers. Like Luke, we had another production staff member, our choreographer, Pamela Schertz, who was only supposed to be the choreographer, but Kelly, working with Pamela in the past and seeing her in other shows, when she didn't see exactly what she wanted for Ula, did the same thing she did for Luke and called her up. And neither one had any inkling of being in the show. But it's worked out really well. Our leads are so, so talented. I mean, they are just amazing. And we have a ensemble that can sing and dance and really add to the show as well.
Give us an idea, too, guys, as to you know, how tough this has been since the auditioning process, because you guys have talked about how you have a lot of people wearing so many different hats. I mean, you know, Luke, you're a good example of this. You're playing the lead role and you're in charge of costuming, and it just seems like this is the kind of production where it's all hands on deck. And while this is a lot of fun and you guys are really looking forward to the debut of this on Friday, there's a lot of work that's gone on here in the last few months.
There is, definitely. I mean, it started with, you know, our first read through in
May.
In May, we had our first read-through. We sat down as a cast and just kind of went over the script and read and saw what everyone's initial take on the characters was. And then we had some rehearsals where we sat and we talked and just discussed, you know, our views on the show and Mel Brooks' comedy and the way that, you know, it's a very specific style of comedy. He was very rapid fire. He just kind of threw things at the wall and to the jokes that hit, and if you didn't, there was another joke in another minute, so you didn't have to worry about it. And then we have all of our music rehearsals where you have to learn all the music, and then there is all the blocking rehearsals where you have to, you know, learn where you're coming on stage and entering and exiting and where to move. And then you get to this past week and this week where you're putting it on its feet and running the show, and you're just hoping you remember everything. For me personally, there's a lot of lines. There's a lot of music. I mean, I have a song in the end of the second act where, you know, I'm already tired. It's almost the end of the show. And I have a 5-minute long song where I just recap the entire show that you've just seen. I sing the whole show again. And just memorizing and trying to remember. And, you know, last night I got it right. And I got a big thumbs up from our music director. He was very excited. So hopefully, from now on, it's stuck in my memory. But it's a long process. It is. But it's not, it's also a condensed process, because if you look at a Broadway show, they are rehearsing that for forever. And then they're going to do out of city tryouts. And then they have their previews before they even open. So we're expected as community theater actors to put on a show in 8 weeks. Is it 8 weeks we rehearsed? And it's a lot. I mean, it is a lot, and you're still trying to get as high a quality as you can. So,
and I think it's just also an additional challenge that, you know, we just added the set really on Sunday, and it's a pretty massive set. And we have some crew members, but we mostly rely on cast members to move that set. And, you know, they're trying to do costume changes. They're trying to sing. They're trying to dance. They're trying to do lines. In addition, most theaters do use cast members to move the set because it just looks better having costumes go on stage versus, a crew person. But that throws a lot at them. And, you know, that makes this week even extra challenging to just start working with the set and having that, you know, huge piece added on. So they're really hanging in there and working
Everybody's
hard.
Everybody's really rising to the occasion. Yeah.
Absolutely. I would say another unique challenge for this show, I guess as the producer and the person who's most concerned about selling tickets, obviously the subject matter in a little bit, especially in this day and age, can be a little controversial. So I felt it was like I worked really hard to research Mel Brooks and to understand where he was coming from. I didn't know that he was a Jewish immigrant and that he tries to make fun of Hitler in everything he does and that he fought in World War II and his parents were from, were from Poland and that, you know, just to try to get the word out that this is like, this is his way, in his words, of bringing comedy to a horrible situation, but also to let the public know so nothing like this ever happens again. So I, you know, made sure I did Facebook posts about it and a blurb in the program, because if you don't know Mel Brooks, I think you could possibly be offended. But he has Springtime for Hitler to make fun of the horrible situation and try to bring comedy to it. And it's his way, he said, of dealing with what he and his family and everyone else had to deal with.
And if you know Mel Brooks, hopefully many of you listening know all about Mel Brooks because he's done some very special things in his career. I mean, I'm thinking of Spaceballs, Robin Hood, Men in Tights. I mean, those are the first two that come to my mind.
Blazing Saddles.
I mean, Blazing Saddles. I mean, yeah, he's had some absolute classics. No question about that. But I would hope that if you're going to see this, you have a pretty good idea as to what Mel Brooks is all about. But I've got to ask you this question, Luke, because you mentioned that you're wearing a three-piece suit for a lot of this
yes.
And how hot it becomes. So I'm generally curious. I mean, I sweat when it's 40 degrees outside. So I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago, I saw the Grinch musical downtown.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I mean, it was early December.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, sometimes you go to places and they try and overcompensate. They turn the heat way up. And I'm thinking, man, I'm sweating out here in the crowd. This poor guy, he's wearing a Grinch costume, keeping it together. I mean, like you, he's got line after line. He's singing, and the delivery didn't seem to be affected one way or the other. How do you handle that? I mean, that's got to be really tough.
I think that's part of the rehearsal process. It's just developing that stamina to get through the show. With a show like, The Grinch, or let's say Shrek or something like that, where there is a lot of prosthetics involved, I mean, you just sweat. There's no way around it. And I too sweat when it's 40 degrees outside.
You can relate.
I can relate to you, definitely. And so, I just carry a lot of handkerchiefs and paper towels in my pocket. Anytime I get a minute, I'm wiping my forehead off and I'm apologizing profusely to my fellow actors that have to touch me.
Or to me, who has to help change him for
quick
changes.
Yes, I have a lot of quick changes, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm so sweaty. I apologize.
Comes with the territory, though, right?
It does. You get on that stage, and you get the stage lights on you, and you get the costumes, and it heats it up. And, your adrenaline's going, and you're, running and dancing and singing, so you sweat. That's what you do. Try not to let it affect your performance as best you can.
And I would just... I'm not on the stage, but I'm behind stage working the crew. And, I don't like to be hot either, but I feel like at rehearsal, it bothers me more. But when you are in the moment of actually doing that show and you know you have to do everything to make everything perfect, you kind of forget about it until it's mm-hmm. over, like adrenaline, like Luke said, you just don't even really, it doesn't bother you like maybe it would if you were at Cedar Point on a day or,
Okay. That's interesting. So it's kind of like, when you're getting up to the very, very top of the diving board, right? Once you jump in and you feel the water, everything's fine. It's those moments where you've got your toes on the edge of the diving board, right?
Exactly.
Well, once you jump into the water, everything's okay.
Absolutely.
Very good stuff. Well, guys, we appreciate you coming in studio. This is a heck of a lot of fun. Lorain Community Music Theater's production of The Producers, the musical. First show is this Friday, July 12th at 7:30. If we're looking for a place to go get tickets, where do we go?
You can get tickets online. If you go to our Facebook page or website, you will find the link for our online ticketing system. It's called Arts People. You can also buy tickets at the box office, obviously, before any show. And you could send us a message our address is on the website or on Facebook, and we will call you and take the phone orders, take the order over the phone if you would like.
We will let you buy tickets any way you would like to buy tickets.
If you need us to meet you somewhere, we would try to make that happen.
Very nice. And again, it takes place at the Lorain Performing Arts Center. That's 2600 Ashland Avenue in Lorain. Lynn, Luke, thank you guys both for coming in. This is a blast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Again, Lynn Mislinski and Luke Scattergood joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Check that out. Mel Brooks is the producers. The musical first show is this Friday, July 12th at 7:30. They've got presentations on the 13th, the 19th, and the 20th. All of those shows are at 7:30, and it all comes to a close on Sunday, July 21st, with a matinee at 2 p.m.